that Indonesian example is interesting because in a way, he's very charismatic, and it's a very sophisticated recognition of that plan. It isn't just doing something on your own, and, you know, because you don't like the way everyone else does it. It's actually using, you know, selective illegality that's been called unlegality, would be maybe an Indonesian word, people. Anyway, so, but you know, another example, since I'm in my more positive end of panel frame of mind, is that this indie media that I just criticized, before I joined indie media in Champaign-Urbana, I think they were great. So this isn't my idea. So no, I mean, before I joined indie media, they had this idea. So I cannot take any credit for it. They are really good at recognizing the structural situation that they're in. So they see indie media not just as producing an alternative venue for news and different ways for people to be reporters or producers. They also are at this huge and very active media policy lobbying wing in association with Free Press. So they see indie media as fighting a legislative battle about media concentration in the United States. And Sasha Meinrath, who I mentioned earlier, you know, has been to Washington to lobby Congress about it. And they see this as the same task. Make the indie media website, let people post their own news, go to Washington, lobby Congress. So this is a strategy I would recommend.
If I go back, and I'm glad you raised the point of governance and decision making, and also returning to Balazs's the quest for approaches or methods, I get quite inspired by devised performance. And devised performance is this experimental theater practice which is collaborative and collective, but eventually has to come to something. And the process is a bit like this. I try to paraphrase properly, or in some way. It's a collective activity. So let's say there's this idea to start, and everybody's going to do something together, but there is a director. So there's a process of first thinking collectively about something, and you actually start with something. You can, of course, that can be anything, but it has to start with something. Maybe that's invited by one person. And then you go through a process of exploring this term of researching, reapplying, re-exploring this original something, changing it around, finding different ways to look at it, maybe in the context of this place, reactivating it. And so this process is meant to sort of splinter off many different interpretations of this original something. Maybe there's a term like, well, taking different paths in different directions. And all of them are different ways that you can approach this original thing. But at the end of the day, you have to stop. It's good to gather different types of materials, different ways of looking at the same thing. But at some point, somebody has to make the decision to go, okay, there's all these different ways. Next step. But that decision is made, and that is, it's accountable, you know? The director or leader or decision maker is accountable to deciding, okay, we take these things forward. And that's the thing that is being rehearsed for the performance. You know, the selection of things which have been elaborated, but essentially selected, rehearsed, and then performed. And for me, this is a really nice process to try to explore some of the issues that are involved here. This is, of course, an approach that you have to sort of take out of the context and put into another one. But for me, that inspires me. I hope that you can get something from that too.
That's great. I really like this, and I think it reminds me of, Counterproductive Industries is Dan, is your name?
I mean, I'm not the group.
But your name, I was just trying to refer to you.
Daniel.
Daniel, yeah. So this is also echoes Daniel's point about decentralization before you got onto efficacy. I mean, and it's interesting because so many media activist projects embrace decentralization as a kind of goal or a good, necessarily a good. I mean, this project I mentioned in Champaign-Urbana, the Dave Young is building, the wireless mesh, is interesting because he seems to have chosen the network protocol he wants to write from a political or ideological beginning that he really loves decentralization. Like, he wants it to be decentralized in part, not for engineering reasons or because that's the most efficient, but because he thinks decentralized things are beautiful politically. And I have to say, it's kind of a crippling choice, organizationally and in many other respects, for many groups, because it's hard to do things that are totally decentralized. You know, so he has these conversations in the engineering meetings like, well, couldn't we have the computers vote and elect a leader temporarily, or couldn't we just have a coordinator? We wouldn't have to call it like a president, or we're talking about computers sometimes we're talking about people in the group, but you know, in either case, it makes things much more problematic when you try for this entirely flat structure. So the notion of directorships or, you know, accountability or rigor, or I mean, is, you know, clearly crucial to what we're doing. But decentralization has such an allure to us that, I mean, maybe it provides a sort of false path in some instances.
It's
interesting.
We're recording it.
Okay. In response to that, I guess when you posed your first questions about how we would define those practices in particular, and that mesh wireless thing, with a little bit of knowledge that I have about that project, that's also why I raised my hand when you asked if it was an art project, because there's perhaps an emphasis on experimentation that comes along with, you know, a real commitment to a kind of language or experimenting with a kind of language. Something we have to work through, definitely. But, you know, I really prefer to stay out of the is it art, is it activism, like, sort of conversation. But I, you know, am, like, committed when it comes up to articulating that, well, maybe it's, you know, at least we can call it art, like one way that we can call it art is when it has this experimental nature, right? You know, and then the kind of ethics, you know, that come along with experimentation. But
I don't care as much for the definitional debate either. I just wanted to point out that I think that if we call it activism, it should be trying to achieve something. It can't just be labeled activism in some abstract way. I mean, the magic bike example that I gave of the guy who sent the email in the New York subway, that's Yuri Gitman, and he's an art professor, actually, an artist, and he labels what he's doing art. And, you know, sometimes he calls it activism, but, you know, if he's the first person to send email using wireless on the New York City subway, the second person, I think, was Verizon. Because, I mean, he just sort of showed them this pent-up demand, and then they went and installed the network in the subway. And I don't know, I mean, maybe he feels he was successful in that activism. I don't know, it's just a weird idea to me. So the idea that just using technology in a novel way makes something activism, that was the point I was trying to argue with.
I actually just wanted to mention, one of the panelists that wasn't able to make it, Shekhar Krishnan, had distributed a paper in advance of the conference, which is probably available on the website. And the notion that they brought up in the paper was this collaborative urbanism, which for him meant that in Mumbai, in India, that because architecture and urban planning was mainly occurring within technical schools, that there needed to be a better way to bring this average people into the process of creating the cities themselves. And I wanted to link it a little bit to what David Young, I mean, in his and the way he's envisioning the network is he's coming to it already with his own, you know, he is coming from a non-technical perspective when he's starting, I guess, in terms of, okay, he has an ideal that he sees as political, and he's going to design something that fits within that. So in that case, maybe it's a successful instance of kind of this, like, enlightened type of engineering or something. But on the other hand, you know, what is our role in, you know, I wanted to kind of close and just see, you know, what is our role in trying to either penetrate those communities or the city planning? I mean, because this panel is really on new media and urban fabric, we're dealing with both the urban infrastructure and the technical infrastructure, and where are we as, you know, the people in this room, practitioners, activists, academics, where are we going to intervene? I mean, many of us are doing so many interesting projects, but if anyone has thoughts on that, that would be a nice way to tie it up.
Well, I can respond to that. I'm not sure if it's activism, and it's certainly not lobbying, but I have this, I call our process sneaking in the back door. Under the cover of other people having kind of a more oppositional stance, we've been able to engage with some of the kind of government agencies, some of the companies that are delivering these technologies, and we've been able to develop collaborations with them. And it's been very effective. I mean, it's certainly in terms of one of the big issues in the local media area was the lack of access to the high quality geodata, the mapping data across Europe, but specifically in the United Kingdom. And we found that by not being oppositional to the National Mapping Agency, we were able to forge a relationship with them, and because of their peculiar nature as an organization, we managed to get them to acknowledge that as a public sector agency that they had a legal obligation to serve all sections of the community, and at the moment the only licenses they have are the government and fully fledged commercial licenses, which are very, very highly priced. And we've got them to officially recognize that they have a legal duty to provide data at some level to what they call the charity and the voluntary sector, which will cover the kind of the work that we and other people have been doing. And this has been a long process. It was 2 years of getting them to work on a project with us and collaborate with us. And to be honest, if I look at the Urban Tapestries project, and if I had to say what was the one thing that came out of it that was of wider benefit, it's this. We've actually got an agency that had been ignoring all of the other kind of criticisms of it, because it could ignore them. We actually managed to engage them in a dialogue which is going to force them to create new licenses for the charity and non-profit sector. So I think there are lots of ways that we can work, but we need to work together, because I wouldn't have been able to do this if some people hadn't been more actively oppositional and making the audience survey feel very vulnerable. It wouldn't have given me the opportunity to go there and say to them, well, look, you know, we are a kind of agency that can help you think through this problem and look at what options there are. For instance, the Creative Commons style approach, and in the UK, the Creative Archive License Group. So I think it's important to have a range of options and have different people acting in different roles.
Later in this, I suggest that maybe you have, like, if I go back to this metaphor of the bias performance or approach, that actually you have to start some way. You have to collectively as a group sort of multiply and find as many different forms of activism as possible, and then accepting that there are many types, and then start to go, okay, this one is appropriate, this one is appropriate, put them together, make the decision, and then rehearse this, you know.
Okay, if no one has any other questions, then I think we just thank the panelists for their participation, and also the panels from this morning for their participation this afternoon.